Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Russ Francis, former Oregon Duck, former NFL tight end, great career. I'm looking at his Topps football card right now online. He had a healthy mustache and a good head of hair when he's playing in the NFL. Like in the movie, I would think Burt Reynolds would play the character of Russ Francis. Is that a fair one, Russ?
John, good afternoon. I'm flattered that you'd say that. Burt was, God rest his soul, was a good friend and quite a character. I don't know that I could live up to his legend, but it sure was a lot of fun back then.
Yeah. So you probably had friends that were in their actors and entertainers. How'd you meet Burt Reynolds?
I met up to some friends of mine when I was first getting started with the Patriots. I started actually the only charter company, airplane charter company. I flew, learned to fly at the University of Oregon, Go Ducks, and started a charter service in Rhode Island. And Burt Reynolds and Jim Neighbors and many of their friends, Carol Burnett, they would come to Hawaii, and I met them through the charter service initially. And then Burt was an ocean guy, like to surf. He's from the Florida area. So the times he'd come into town, we'd get together and either fly to one of the other islands or just go surfing right there at Waikiki Beach.
Three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion with the 49ers, former Oregon Duck. And by the way, if you are a Duck fan or a 49er fan who wants to see Russ Francis, he will be hosting a 49ers faithful watch party at the Wooden Chicken this Sunday for the Rams-Niners games. It's open to the public, and you can get a Russ Francis autograph at the event. And Russ, I know that you probably get asked this a lot, but you know, you were in New England before the Patriots were the Patriots. What was it like to be with that franchise and at the time you were there?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because both teams I played for, the New England Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers, had gone through some very tough times. And when I came on board with the Patriots, drafted from the University of Oregon in 1975, they had not had much success. In my rookie year, I ended up starting because the other two tight ends got hurt in training camp and preseason. I was part of a team that won 3-11 that year when it was a 14-game season. So we only won three games. Came back the next year after drafting people like Hall of Fame cornerback Mike Haynes, and there was Sam Bam Cunningham and Steve Grogan and all the others, and we went 11-3. That was the first time the Patriots had really had a divisional win-type season, and we went on to do that for the next few years. When I retired after 6 years, went to work for ABC Sports and ESPN, enjoyed it, had a great time traveling around the world, surfing in Africa, and skydiving and in France and those types of things. And then Bill Walsh talked me out of retirement in 1982 season, and I started up with the 49ers when they were just starting. They'd won their first Super Bowl that year. I was working for ABC. But it had been an uphill climb until a guy by the name of Joe Montana came along and developed into one of the game's best quarterbacks.
Russ Francis with us, three-time Pro Bowler in the NFL. Now, the story goes, you began high school in Hawaii, but you finished up southeast of Eugene. You were also a track and field guy, just a great athlete all around. But your career at Oregon in football, and then, is it true that you enrolled at Oregon State as well?
Well, I went to Oregon State. I did pre-med at Oregon and animal husbandry, animal science. I was going to be the family veterinarian because we had a ranch in Oregon at the time. outside of Eugene, Pleasant Hill, as you said, southeast. Went over the middle of my senior year to finish high school there because one of my brothers had gone off to college. I was next in line to work on the ranch. So I was a baseball player growing up, but their baseball team was kind of, they didn't have much of a schedule, so I did this thing called the javelin because I like to throw things. I was a pitcher in baseball. It got me a scholarship, at least an undergraduate scholarship, at the University of Oregon. And then my junior year when I played for the Ducks, it helped pay for some graduate-level books that you have in chemistry and biology, that type of thing. But I went to Oregon State because of those classes that I mentioned that junior year while I was learning to fly and hauling hay. And it was a busy, busy year. But I had been throwing batting practice for the Kansas City Royals AAA team in Eugene. And because one of the scouts had seen me play some summer ball after the track season, they drafted me the fall before the Patriots drafted me when the draft in the NFL was in January. It was the fall of 74, the Patriots, January of 75, and they offered me more money. And I had to admit to having an addiction at that time. And so the money, extra money that the Patriots offered came in really handy because that was addiction was aviation and flying airplanes. So I started football truly, and a lot of people don't believe this, just because it allowed me to buy a little airplane, fly back from Eugene, Oregon to Boston, Massachusetts, start my Patriots career, and then, of course, 14 years later, I looked over my shoulder and said, I can't believe this happened so fast. So it's been a wild ride, and I'm looking forward to the 49er faithful at the Wooden Chicken Pub and Grill on Sunday. That barbecue, I've been told. Now, I don't have all the facts on this, John, but I've been told that they're going to be doing some lamb barbecue due to the LA Rams that were playing on Sunday. Not the Rams. We call them the Lambs.
Russ Francis is with us. I just find it amazing. I mean, you were such a good athlete that, I mean, it's evident. Baseball's interested in you. The NFL's interested in you. And I think you only played about 12 or 15 games for the Ducks as a football player. And you get drafted. You also did the Superstars competition, which I loved watching. What was that like?
You know, that was a lot of fun. Funny you mentioned that, John. That's one of my favorite memories just about meeting great people from all different sports. As you know, they have the competition that you do against the guys in your own sport. Barry Sanders and a bunch of great athletes. Ronaldo Nehemiah, of course, he was in track and field before football. And then you go on to the international competition, people from overseas and other sports, Mike Schmidt in baseball and others. In a truly idyllic setting for that type of competition. It started out in Miami and moved to the Bahamas. So it was, you get a chance to find out when you're talking about athletics, those guys are just so gifted in so many different ways. Ronaldo Nehemiah went up the wall. You go through all of the high jump and or hurdles and that type of thing. You crawl through a tunnel, then you got to scale this 15-foot wall. Most of us grabbed the rope and pulled ourselves over. Ronaldo and Edwin Moses, both two world-class track guys, hurdlers, and I don't know if anybody's beaten their records, they didn't touch the rope. They went right to the top and over. So they were pretty spectacular to watch.
Russ Francis with us. Again, if you want to see him and you're a Russ Francis fan or a 49er fan, the Wooden Chicken has got a viewing party on Sunday. It's open to the public, and Russ is right. They do barbecue well there. Russ, you've got sort of a love for the outdoors, and I know, did you host a radio show that was like an outdoors radio show?
I did, and as a matter of fact, you know, I'm a fan of the game 750, you guys. I come in and out of Oregon, have a lot of family. My niece Sandy is in Salem, and her whole family, that's my brother's side of the family, and then I have a brother down in Pleasant Hill, a sister in Terrebonne over by Bend, Oregon. So I tune you guys in when I come in to town, and I had a syndicated show in Eugene back in the 90s after I retired and had a lot of fun doing mainly University of Oregon sports, but also high school sports. and some pro sports interviews, that type of thing. And then recently here in Cody, Wyoming, where I'm calling you from today, I did an outdoor show because there's so much to do here as far as not just the hunting, but the kayaking and the fishing and the horseback riding into some really beautiful parts of the Yellowstone National Park. I did that until I came off a horse and broke some ribs and vertebrae, and that took me out of the radio program for a while. But I enjoy the opportunity to join you, John, and talk to the 49er faithful fans and even some of you Lamb fans out there. Come down. It starts at 11 o'clock at the Wooden Chicken Pub and Grill, as you mentioned, John. And Ram fans are welcome. And all kidding aside, it is a community that is like no other. The sports community, whether it's baseball or football, this generational, there'll be grandfathers there, there'll be 10-year-olds there. We're rooting for both the 49ers and the Rams. Everybody's welcome.
Russ Francis with us. Is it true the story? Howard Cosell once called you all world, and you had a talk with him and told him, hey, you got to knock that off?
Rob Henthill, who's put this together the last couple of years for me, he's National Sports Memorabilia. We met down in the Bay Area. And one of the first things that he talked to me about was, where did you get that name, the all world tight end? And I said, well, my rookie year, rookies didn't start in the National Football League. And as I mentioned earlier, the two guys in front of you, Bob Windsor and Bob Adams, were both injured. Chuck Fairbanks, the head coach, and Ray Perkins, my receiver coach, and a great player in his own right, and coach in the NFL. They stuck me in there, and I had a real slow start because I'd only really played that 1 year at Oregon that you mentioned, my junior year. Didn't play my senior year, was trying to get my aviation career together and graduate early and all those things. And I started to have a couple of really good games. And one of the things the Patriots drafted me for was I did have some speed for a guy who was 6'6 and about 250. So I sit, and because I didn't know how to run routes or read coverages, they sent me straight down the field. So I caught a lot of long balls. I think I averaged just over 18 yards per catch my rookie year. And in one of those games, Howard came up with, he's all world number 81, Russ Francis. Well, my teammates started hitting me harder in practice. And everybody that we played against that my rookie year would take the extra shots in the pile that you throw to other parts, soft parts of your body. And so I called Mr. Cosell up at the time. He became very friendly, so I refer to him now as the late, great Howard Cosell. And I finally got him on the phone at ABC, and I said, Mr. Cosell, call me Howard. I said, this is Russ Francis, number 81. He jumps out of airplanes. He surfs. He fights sharks. He rides motorcycles. I said, I've got one just real small favor to ask of you. What is it? Anything. I'll do whatever you want to do. Could you please stop calling me all world? I'm going to get killed out there. The phone went silent, and I went, oh, I cringed. Now, here I am, a 21, 22-year-old at that point in the season, talking to Howard Cosell. And I realized I just insulted him, or it felt like it. And he said, he came back after several seconds of silence. He goes, number 81. I said, yes, sir. He says, get tough or get out. Click. So it was a lesson to me of how media works. And, you know, he became one of my biggest supporters. And I was there at his final services after he passed with his family, his wife, Emmy, and daughter, Heather, and all the rest of the Cosell clan, including sons that went on to work in broadcasting, primarily at ESPN, I believe. One of the nicest, most decent human beings I've ever met, and I was honored to have him use that moniker.
All World Russ Francis is with us. He'll be at the Wooden Chicken on Sunday for the Rams 49ers viewing party. I encourage people that would like to meet Russ Francis or maybe get an autograph to swing by there. Before I cut you loose, I read a story about training camp. Now, you love to fly, but was there a case in training camp in Rhode Island for the Patriots where you rented a plane and you flew teammates off to lunch? Is that right? Is that true?
You are very thorough. That's a long time ago, and not too many people know that story. You must know Steve Grogan. we had just a couple of hours free, and I didn't rent a plane. That was the small plane that I ended up buying that football provided me the opportunity to buy, a little Beechcraft Sierra, it's called. And we had a couple hours free in between morning practice, and most guys would go to lunch and lay down for an hour or so, and then there was a meeting and then afternoon practice. So I would take guys, whoever wanted to go with me, we'd go to Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard to the cafes at both those little fields on either one of those islands. And just to get away, just to break the tension, I mean, it is so intense training camp for most players, especially guys that don't know much about the game, which was my case. And I had volunteers for the most part until I took up our right tackle, Shelby Jordan, about 6'8" and about 300 pounds, not an ounce of fat on him, and became a dear, dear friend. Found out we got up about 2,000 feet above the water on our way to Nantucket and found out he was terrified of flying.
Oh,
and,
man.
I said, I hope this doesn't ruin your appetite. But he made it all the way to and all the way back, and he was able to, he didn't have to use the bag, as they say. But yeah, those were a lot of fun. And the East Coast, New England, I love New England. I was just there. My sweetheart here had her high school reunion. I met her up in Vermont many years ago, and the colors were changing. This is just a couple weekends ago. Went to the Jets game as well for the Patriots. And it's just such a magical place, probably the reason why Norman Rockwell painted such memorable and iconic pieces of art over the years, using New England as the backdrop. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Sunday because the 49er fans, the 49er faithful, were such an important part of that part of my life where we went on to beat Miami in their second Super Bowl, which was Super Bowl 19. And people still write and send cards. I'm honored to sign them. We don't charge any money for that. I'll be looking forward. All the festivities on Sunday start at 11 a.m., so get there early. I love to meet them, talk, and hear the stories about their grandfathers, having tickets with the 49ers' fathers, aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters. It's truly a family, and I'm very, very fond of all of those people. And as I said, there's Lamb fans are allowed to, and we'll welcome them with open arms until the game starts.
I look back at that time with the Niners, and in Super Bowl 19 is at Stanford Stadium, and I was a Bay Area kid at the time, and it was a big deal to have the Super Bowl. And by the way, the 49ers are playing in the Super Bowl. Did that make it special for you guys? And, you get in there and Dan Marino's on the other side. I mean, that was a big-time game.
Well, John, Bill Walsh, 2 weeks before the game, we went to the NFC Championship game against Chicago, barely squeaked by that game, 23-0. They were supposed to have the best defense, and they did. We just had Joe Montana and, as I mentioned, Roger Craig, Freddie Solomon, Dwight Clark, all those guys, and Ronnie Lott and Keena Turner and Jack Hacksaw and Reynolds and everybody on defense. He said, you know what, guys, I think we're going to cancel this game. Now, Bill was always kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of guy, and again, God rest his soul. One of my favorite people on the entire planet, learned so much from him about life and about the game of football and so forth. He said, you know, they've already been, they're christening this guy Dan Marino. I think it was his second year, breaking all these records and everything else. So I don't think our quarterback would be able to stand up next to him. So we're just going to call this game in. Everybody looked around at each other, and Bill smiled. And he looked over at George Seifert, who was the defensive coordinator. He said, George, he said, I don't care if they score 3 touchdowns in the first 5 minutes. I want everybody after that guy Marino. If you're a water boy, if you're taping ankles, I don't care who you are, I want you to hit Dan Marino. I want to bloody his nose. I want, that red color going down the front of that blue member on his chest or whatever else. I mean, Bill was a boxer back in college. He was a tough guy, and he wasn't kidding. He wanted everybody to zero in on Marino. And they were favored to win by 11 points, I think was the case, John, and we beat them 38-16, I believe. And and President Reagan came on the big screen, wishing both teams well at the beginning. In our hometown at Stanford Stadium, there was no way they were going to win.
Russ Francis, former Oregon Duck, former NFL player, former professional wrestler, pilot, radio host, surfer, javelin thrower. We didn't even get to talk javelin. You would have. Why didn't you go after the decathlon? Because I could see you would have been an Olympian.
Well, you're very kind. There was a guy that was a decathlete at the time and became an Olympian, and I believe he won the gold medal. Bruce Jenner, who since changed his name, but Bruce was a real, you know, decent guy. He came to be the Olympic trials were at Hayward Field, University of Oregon. So he came there and he said, listen, could you help me with the javelin a little bit? Now, I just started throwing like the year before. And I started at Pleasant Hill High School. I happened to have one of the top javelin coaches in the country, Bob Darling. And we started out to break the high school record, the Pleasant Hill record, then the district record, which happened 1 week, then the second week, the third week, the state record, and then the fourth week, the national record, which was broken. I broke it three times. And that provided the scholarship. Bill Bauerman was the head coach and became the Olympic coach. Bruce Jenner said, you know, you really ought to try this decathlete thing. You help me with the javelin, I'll help you with the decathlon. I said, I'm having so much trouble just keeping this javelin straight. The high jump and the pole vault and all that stuff, that's just way too much for me. It's going to bite into my flying time, my surfing time. It wasn't realistic, but thank you for the compliment. He was the true all-around athlete, Bruce Jenner.
Russ Francis, for people who want to see him, he'll be at the Wooden Chicken, and that'll be on Sunday, 11 a.m. 49ers are taking on the Rams, and you can meet the Patriots and 49er great three-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion right there. Russ Francis, thank you for your time, man.
John, it's a real pleasure, and to all your fans on the Game 750, I say aloha. I'll see you on Sunday.
All right, there he is, Russ Francis, and for those of you listening on Fox Sports Eugene or in Klamath Falls, you can also make the trip up to Portland. I did a broadcast one time from the Wooden Chicken Pub. I did. Maybe I should tell the story after the break because it's going to be a long, interesting story. By long, I mean five. It's going to take me 5 minutes to unwind this. But the result was I came home with a sign of an adjacent business that would not fit into the room that I'm in. Okay? I'll tell the story of how that happened and why I had the sign.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.